We're here at Fringe Central before the start of Edinburgh Fringe, and this is an interview about a show called Scream Phone, and it's at Gilded Balloon, and it's running pretty much throughout the Fringe. And from the image of the flyer, I'm a bit bamboozled, but luckily I've got the two writers here. I'm joined by
Natasha Granger
and
Kerry Thomason.
Okay, who have got, you know, I'm hoping to wipe the smiles off their faces with my with my questions, but maybe not, because this is billed as Scream meets Clueless in this spoof horror musical. So the obvious question to start with, but it's a good one, is how did this get written, and when was the idea born?
Okay, so this is all based on a game, actually, that we played when we were both young, kind of 12 plus, and it's called Dream Phone. And this game is almost like Clueless, but instead you're trying to find out your crush. And actually this, it's...
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, I wouldn't expect it. But many...
Oh, cheers.
Sorry, Paul. But yeah, it's, and it actually, we played it recently, maybe 3 years ago or something, and we had some wine while we were playing it, and we realised how dated it was, but also how funny. It's basically got these pictures of the most classic 80s guys with all their mullets and things, and you have to call them up, and they've got some really funny reactions. We thought, wouldn't that make an amazing musical? And we had actually brought up our first show, Two Become One, to the Fringe for 3 years, and that did really well. It's a 90s pop musical, so yeah, we wanted to go back a bit to the 80s.
Is it anything like Space Invaders?
No,
that was the game I played when I was 17. Look, we are not on the same page here, but we're going to get on it. What I do want to ask you, because I know that you brought theatre here before, and you brought children's theatre, and it's very acclaimed. So if anyone's kind of going, I'm going to switch off now, this sounds like a horrendous idea to bring to the Fringe, a spoof musical. It's not, is it? You know how to make theatre, and, you know, parody and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I want to know now a bit more about the theatre craft of doing this, how you actually make this as a good quality bit of theatre. You know, there are good stars all over the place from London and other places. So you found something. The danger is it could be derivative of something else and lead to groans, but you're not doing that. So I kind of want you to make the case to me for why you know how to do this.
Well, we have both got experience. We love comedy and we really watch a lot of comedy. We do some comedy as well. Kerry's done a lot of improvisation as well. So when we started, we start with a storyboard, and then we start to bring it to life in the script. But what we do, which we think is different, we devise a lot of... what we have a script, but we devise a lot in rehearsal. And we also have an amazing director on board. So he helped us with a lot of structure of the show. Yeah. We're working with Tom Parry, who's from Pappy. So he really gave us that like comedy edge as well with the structure of the show.
Yeah.
But we think that what we do is very empowering. Like our last show, we found a lot of women came out of it, and even though it was funny and even though it could be crass, they came out saying we were so empowered. They were up at the end, feel good, really. So
yeah. And so I guess that's what I'll ask you as well, which is, you know, this is a spoof horror musical, but particularly people that have, you know those games and that history are going to relate to this.
Yes, I think so, but we've also tried to write it in a way that if you haven't played that game before, this is still a show for you. We almost make jokes out of making references to the game, but are well aware that some people won't get those references, but it's not to exclude anyone.
Yeah.
I think even if you don't know the game or don't know the films, you'll still find it very silly.
And I guess you also have to lay aside what you just know from your own experience and also do your research.
Yeah, I think with Two Become One, we brought that 3 years in a row and actually sold out 3 years in a row. So I feel like we'd learn our style there. But with this show, I think we have progressed as a theatre company themselves, where we've learned what our strengths are and what our weaknesses are. So we very much play to our strengths now.
If you allowed me to follow you guys around like as a camera on a Channel 4 documentary and forgot about me then, what would I see in terms of co-writing something? What was that process?
Writing, what we tend to do is, so me and Tasha, we studied together at university, so we've known each other for about 10 years now, so we write in order to make each other laugh. So if one of us says something, it's to try and make the other person laugh, and usually 9 out of 10 that will also make other people laugh, or at least we hope so.
And what's that process of saying this is in and that's not in, you know, we need to make changes to this? And good creativity involves a bit of good conflict where you both want something and sometimes you don't. How did this finally hone it down to the script you were going to perform?
We definitely have those moments where we're like, this is funny, and the other one's like, no, I'm not sure, it doesn't work within the piece. But with this, we kind of basically put stuff in the script, and then we that was really in rehearsals. We started working out, does this work? It doesn't quite. And also having the director there is a really good third party to go, this is better. Yeah, this doesn't work and this is perfect. So.
Yeah. And I guess part of that to you as writers is what I say as, you know, one of the reviewers here, is that when something that is derived from something else, here we say Scream meets Clueless, mm-hmm. Is there has to be a good reason to do it. And when there isn't, that's when we call it self-indulgent, you know, and accidental, and people up here for fun, and you're not doing that. So why did you choose to specifically do a spoof horror musical? What made you go for that genre? Well, there were two genres, really. There's a musical here, and there's kind of the comedy there, and then maybe there's also the horror, the music, the horror. There's three things, really.
So for us, like the horror element kind of came the fact that we were playing this game when we were children, and actually it's quite a creepy game. It's a very sexist game, and it's all about, it's basically built for the market's idea of a straight young girl who just wants to, that's all they're interested in, is finding out who their crush is. It's also interesting that the game was made by a man as well, which we found like quite funny. So
and most of them were, weren't they?
Yeah, of course. And they,
if not all of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's this whole, like, now there's a lot of relevance in the whole pink tax, that all these games for children are gendered, and this was absolutely was gendered and it was off its time. So what we kind of, and then with Scream and Clueless idea, the whole idea was that 80s and 90s, the horror films, it's always these girls who end up semi-naked running away from a, they're always the victim, they always die first, they're never the kind of protagonist. So we wanted to kind of spin that a bit, but also poke fun at it. I think that's what we like to do, to make people see what it was like in the pop culture of the time.
So in a way, this is more than a spoof, isn't it? There's a, you know, there's a, a wish here to kind of show the side of this that, you know, probably wouldn't be very acceptable today and needs to be looked at in the real sense.
Yeah, I think that's what we try to do with all the theatre we create. As much as it is usually 3-4 girls having fun on stage, we're trying to kind of, yeah, open the eyes to the whole pop culture of the 80s, 90s, of how women were portrayed.
You mentioned your director and the link with Pappies. You know, what have you learned about comedy from that process? Because they're known for a particular kind of sketch comedy and so on. So what have you learned? What's changed in you as a comedy writer, performer?
I think definitely structure was our main thing. Me and Kerry wrote a script, and we probably would have stuck with that structure of a script, but he was brilliant at chop that up. This is where this needs to go, that needs to go. But also it's that kind of, I mean, yeah, they do some really wacky stuff, and that's definitely been brought out in our kind of comedy. That was our style-ish anyway. We have very, like, we're very big with what we do, and almost spoofy, but it has got that other element to it.
Mm. Have you made any changes since? I mean, is the script still up for change, or is it completely finished?
We actually recently completely rewrote the end of the show, so that'll be quite fun for the Fringe to try that one out. I think, I don't know, it is, as much as it is scripted, there's still elements of us having fun on stage. So if that does change some bits to bring out maybe different jokes or whatever, then yes, there is like still a little bit of improv and fun to have, but we do kind of keep it quite scripted.
Final question for Natasha. Natasha, you're also here with a children's show, and you've been here before with that. Have you learned anything from performing to children that you can, you know, apply to performing to adults?
I think so. I think when I was first doing children's show, I gave it just too much, not too much energy, you need that, but I was almost like too in their face. And I think I've learned to take it back a step and also let their engagement come to you. And I think I've also applied that then in my work with the adult shows as well.
So this is Scream Phone. It's at the Edinburgh Fringe. Thanks for talking to Fringe Review.
Thank you.